If you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 9, reading to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 13. For we know in part, wrote Paul, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray together. Dear Father, it seems so simple that if all of us who are called by thy name will but humble ourselves and seek thy face, that then our land, our world will be healed. But, O Lord, we hold on and we confess this to thee. We hold on to things we need to turn loose of, and we turn loose of things we need to hold on to. And we trust, O Father, then this service that you will so permeate every one of our lives. Come and stand before every pew in this sanctuary from the front row to the back balcony. Until we leave this place of assembly, we are confident of only one thing. That thy Son Jesus Christ did meet with us. And did touch that thing, that habit, that attitude, that spirit. And thereby healing and restoration took place. Father, you speak. Let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy holy and divine message alone might not only be heard, but may it be received and understood and incorporate it into our daily living. For we make this strong petition in the name of the strong name of our Savior, this same Jesus. Amen. A lot of people who would write down a very fine profession of orthodoxy. A lot of us here would say, I believe this about the Bible. I believe this about Jesus Christ. I believe this about the virgin birth. I believe this about the life of perfection he lived among us. I believe this about atonement, about Calvary, about the crucifixion. I believe this about the resurrection. I believe this about the coming again. A lot of folks here in this sanctuary this morning that would be graded A+ in orthodoxy, in theology, about what you believe and what I believe. Yet as Christians, we've asked Jesus Christ into our life with deep sincerity, with a commitment of life. We work at it. We try. We pray. We attend. We serve. We give. But yet, so many of us continually are emotional cripples. Isn't that something? We still are so emotionally immature. Now, what we like to do is compartmentalize life. We say, here's my intellectual life, I'm going to put it right over there. Now, here's my emotional life, it belongs over in this spectrum. Over there is my vocational life. Over on the side, that's my spiritual life. And we take all of our lives and we put them in little capsules. We group them. And somehow we have the idea that we can relate to this life and this life and this life and this life. And we forget that life always has to be looked at as a whole. I cannot divorce, you cannot divorce any area of your life from any other area of your life. It all belongs together. Therefore, I may be converted, I may be saved, I may be on my way to heaven, but still have a whole lot of quirks, a whole lot of hang-ups, and still be mired down in a bog of immaturity, mired down in a bog of emotional instability. And the great tragedy is, a lot of people can go through their entire life like this. And I stand up here this morning and say categorically, God does not intend for a member of His family to live in this fashion. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I used childish words, I had childish thought patterns, my deeds were childish, they were immature. But Paul said, when I became a man, I put away. There's a strong Greek word there for put away, katageo. It means to kill, to render inoperative. Paul said, I katageo, I put away, I put off, I turned away from. Literally, in the strongest sense, it means I actually killed those childish things that were within me. We live in different levels. We have different agendas going on. But so many times, unexpectedly. Have you noticed how in your life or in my life, some little childish quirk will come up? And you'll say something and you want to catch those words and you could just put them back down, you know, the feeling? Now let me lay a very basic foundation for what we're going to deal with this Sunday and next Sunday. Now, I don't want to go too fast. But the first word is, everybody in this sanctuary has been a child. That's right. We were once children. Now, I remember a couple of years back, Cliff could never believe. He said, Daddy, you were once my size? Yes. Couldn't believe it. Our children can't believe that we were ever children. Some of us somehow have forgotten it. You know, I know it's hazy back there. We don't remember all the details. And we've asked an aunt, we've asked our mother, we've asked a father, and we've asked friends, what was I really like back there, you know? But everybody here, we were all once children. That's the first thing I want to lay on you. Hadn't run by anybody yet, have I? The second thing I want to say is, that little child that we once were, that little child that was once in my life and once in your life, is still in your life and still in my life. You got it? That little child is still alive in your life and in my life, and it's functioning, it's living, it's hidden many times, but it's there in your life and in my life. The third thing I would say, that little child for far too many of us still makes too many decisions in our adult living. Did you get that? That little hidden child in your life and in my life still calls too many shots. For good, that's fine, but also for bad. Now somebody is saying, why don't you preach the gospel? This is the gospel, folks. At the deepest level of our being, because if the good news of Jesus Christ can't do something about these quirks in my life and in your life, these peculiarities, this violence, or this pouting, or however we respond, then the Jesus Christ that we know is not adequate for the external side of our lives. Down inside of us, there's this little child that's alive. It's all of our history. And what this says is we can never get away from our history. You can go back, we remember, to the second and third generation. I've got news from you. We can go all the way back to Adam. In fact, we can go all the way back to God. This is all an accumulation of where we are right now. You know, perhaps you didn't have this problem, but for a long time, I thought maturity took place naturally with chronology. You know, as time went by, I thought I got more mature. Did you ever think that? I really did. My early church, I had a flat top, and I used to say to Joe Beth all the time, I wish I had just a little sprinkling of gray around the temples. I thought that would give me an aura of maturity. Now I want to get rid of the sprinkling of gray that's all around the temples. You see, we have the idea just because we get older, we get more mature. Nothing could be further from the truth. There are a lot of 75, 65-year-old infants running around. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:3 that I want to speak to you as mature people, but I have to speak to you as carnal babies. I have to give you pablum. You're still saying da-da. You're still jealous. You're still competitive. You're still selfish. And all of these emotions that come from that child that's within you and that's within me. Now I want to say something over on the side, just sort of parenthetically, just over on the side a little bit, to say rather simply that everybody who's had psychology 101 is not a psychologist. That includes a lot of us. Because I know people who just spend all their time analyzing everything that takes place. I've got some dear friends in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you can say hello, and they'd say, I wonder what that means. Boy. You know, and everything that happens to them, everything that relates, they go back to mother and daddy and my grandmother. I just see your grandmother coming out in you. You know, that was exactly the way your grandfather would respond. And we see all of this, and we relate it, and what we're about in this discipline of these morning worship services is not to go back and dig up all this, and now I have a new scapegoat. I'm going to cop out on living, and therefore you just got to accept me the way I am, the bad and the good, the bitter and the sweet, the up and the down, the pouting and the volatile. You just got to accept me. That's the way I am because my mother, my daddy, my son, you know. That's not what we're involved in. Instead, we're involved in trying to get to know this child within you, this hidden child within us, that is sometimes barbaric and brutal, and sometimes very reticent, sensitive, and quiet. This child that sometimes wants to lead, but doesn't have the courage to do so. And sometimes needs to be silent, but just runs away vociferously with all sorts of biting, cutting, lashing, slashing, half-truths. See? So what we're about is to get to know that child within you and within me. And to turn the light of God in His Holy Spirit upon that little hidden child within us and see what kind of healing can take place as we learn how to love God, love ourselves in the right way, and even to love others. Because the word in the Bible, you remember, for be ye perfect, says be ye mature. It means we are to learn how to love. And only in love is there maturity. And therefore we see in this great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, almost in the middle of it, Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I katageo, I put off, I cut off, I killed, I put away this childishness that's within me. And the problem with a lot of people who have their name on church rolls, who are here every Sunday perhaps, who seem to be very Christian people, we have not katageoed, we have not put off, turned away from, if necessary, annihilated this little child within us, and therefore that little child keeps on making too many decisions in our adult living. How do you get to know this little child? Psychologists and psychiatrists, they're involved in this. I heard about a Broadway actress who went to a psychiatrist. And she spelled out all of her problems. And the psychiatrist said, well, what do you think your problem is? She says, well, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't act, and is frustrated. The psychiatrist said, well, why don't you quit? She said, I would, but I'm a star. The little child within us, somewhere, somebody back there pushed that gal and got her apart, and she played the games and did the right things, and now she's caught up in a dilemma of her own success that's as hollow and as empty as a gourd. Now the question, how can I get to know this little child within me? How can you get to know this little child within you so that the Holy Spirit, the light of God, can come and touch and forgive and heal and restore and put off and put away this childishness? The little child is easy to discover. If you just stop and think about it. You know how you discover it? It's when you or I, when we overreact in a situation. That's it. When we overreact with more vehemence, more strength, more sternness, or more whatever, when we overreact in light of the situation in which we find ourselves, a little red light ought to go on. Like a little red light goes on your dash in the automobile, begins to blink. Now you can take tape and put over it, say, well, it's all right. I don't see it anymore, but it begins to blink. When we overreact in a situation, you know that little child that's within you, within me, is coming to the surface. I'll illustrate it personally, and I can give you 1,001. I want you to do it in your own life. Now, for a long time, every coat that I bought, every suit that I bought, I always bought the sleeves longer than you're supposed to have them. I'd go to a men's store, they'd say, those sleeves are too long. I'd say, no, that's the way I like it. And the reason I always had, by the way, your sleeves ought to be what? When you turn your hand up, there's a little snuff pocket right there. They ought to hit right there. About an inch or so, your cuff ought to show, you know, all that stuff. And you go to these men's stores, they'll tell you all that. Supposed to cup your hands like this and come right down. That's the length of your coat. This one's too long. I didn't even notice that at 8:30. And there's your snuff box. That's where your coat comes. But all of my coats, I buy them longer. I even sold men's clothes for about 7 years after school and all the way through college and seminary. And almost every coat I sold, the sleeves were too long. I just superimposed that. You know why? You can guess. I was a child of the Depression. And my family was still in the Depression after it had been over for about 10 or 12 years. True. And so, I'd get a suit. Many times a hand-me-down. My neighbor, friend, members of family. And then Easter would come, all the other boys would get new suits. By the way, you don't see me wearing new suits on Easter. It's sort of a hang-up. It's an ancient protest against my childhood, I guess. And everybody get a new suit but me. I'd have my old suit. And you know, my arms began to grow. And I'd try to shrink my arms up as I'd walk. I remember just as clear as yesterday. So that sleeves wouldn't look so short. And my legs, my pants would get short. I would sort of walk like this. I would always rush to sit down. Because I didn't want to be different from everybody else. When I was a teenager, the pink shirts came out again. They come and go, by the way, folks. There's hope for pink. Everybody in our church, they all got a pink shirt. I had no white shirt. I would sit down. See? So this just went over. I didn't understand that. I got to be an adult. I'd buy a suit. I'd say, those sleeves are too short. Oh, no, they're... No, no, no. I want a next size. They'd go get me a next size. See? Why? That little child within me. You see it? Now, you can look at your life and see so many things like this, but let's take it a little more intensity. Where are we most likely to see this little child within you and within me exposing itself? Where would you think? In the intimacy of deep friends and the home. See? Now, out front, we can smile. How are you? Good morning. Beautiful day. How you feeling? Fine. You know, we just can go through all that PR stuff and not a care in the world. Boy, isn't that a wonderful fellow? That's the finest lady I know. Well, boy, he got so much poise. He's the sweetest guy. But boy, home. We relax. And something, a little something, we could just flare up and respond in a very inappropriate way. And those around us don't understand, but what's happening, we're responding. That little child is responding, and that's not the mature us. That little child is calling the shots. I'll just give you a personal illustration. In my home, I'm paranoid about cutting out lights. I do it under the pretense of the energy conservation. Very piously. And my wife has a place where she dresses. It's got these lights all around that mirror. And a while back, she left those lights on. I'm telling you, you would think she had, you know, burned the house. Boy, why you leave those lights on and paying the power bill? Oh, wait a minute, I just went bananas. And I count those lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at all those lights. That's true. Boy, I got in my car and I left in a rage. I mean, I was upset. A light was left on. I was mad. Boy, I'll tell you, no, I can't make enough. Boy, to spend all lights, money going there. Boy, I'm going home. I am fired up over. And I got a thing and say, hey, lights? I remembered when I was a teenage boy. Was driving. I think it was a Studebaker. Got the car, very unusual thing. We went for years, we didn't have a car. We had a car. Went to a friend's house. The phone rang. My mother. Edwin, come home. You left the light on in your room. True. Got back in the car, drove over, boy, flipped the switch, got back in, left. See? I want the Holy Spirit to take this and speak to your life. You say, how do I know that little child? I want to see that little hidden child within me. Just you can spot him. You can see him when he sticks his head up in your life. When you begin to pout. When you begin to lash. Sometimes someone can ask an individual a question. It'll just trigger something. They can look like someone else, a teacher back there somewhere. A friend back there who turned away from them. Someone who hurt them back there. And this little child from our past just sticks his head up, and suddenly you respond in a very inappropriate way. When this happens, I trust you begin to see a little light blinking on the dashboard of your mind and your heart and your spirit saying, something's wrong, this isn't right. And you can look back on it and not say, well, I had a bad day, I was tired, you know, I was irritated, I had a lot of pressure on me. Things weren't going good at the office. This happened. But see, we need to look back a little further. A little further. And we might be amazed what we can remember and what the Holy Spirit will lead us to recall. Little child. That's within you and within me. Let me tell you something that's not true. When people come down to the marriage altar, we say the two become one. Two people never get married. Four people get married at a minimum. Two adults and two little children inside. And when the little child in you or the little child in me begins to assert itself in the intimacy of the home, then the other little child and your mate begins to assert itself in the intimacy of their background experiences. And all of a sudden, I'll tell you, watch out for the pots and pans. Because children act strange sometimes, don't they? Three areas where you have most marital conflict. Not in order of their importance, but three areas. Money. Giving and the receiving of love, and discipline the children. How you discipline the children, when you discipline the children. Those three areas. Now, a lot of people debate what the most important order is. But I think the area of affection is perhaps number one. That's just my subjective evaluation. Those three areas. And you get in the home and we're relaxed and informal and that little child begins to prop up. I can see that man. He came in, he said, oh, I don't know why I'm like I am. He said, at the office, I'm thinking about how much I love my wife, how special she is to me and what all she does for the children, how fortunate I am to have a wife like that. And I just think all these sweet things and nice things and wonderful things to say. And he said, I've got them rehearsed in my mind almost every day. And I go home and I get out of the car and I open that door. And he says, I don't see my wife. Somehow I see my mother standing there fussing at me. And I will look at some little silly something, some little foolish thing my wife did or did not do. And I'll just lash out at her. He said, this has happened time and time and time and time again. He said, I don't understand it. Does this speak to anybody here this morning? Or here's a wife who says, I really love my husband. And I know I'm not a good disciplinarian. I give the children too much rope. I just let them sort of do. And I need his hand of discipline. And he's a good disciplinarian. But she says when he starts to discipline the children, something just flies all over me and I see not my husband, but I see my own father, which in my mind, in a very inappropriate way, I see him disciplining me. And she says, I end up interceding for the children and lashing out at my husband. Does that speak to anyone here this morning? We were all children. The little child still lives within you and me, and the problem is so many times that little child of our past continues to make too many decisions for bad in your life and in mine. What can we do about it? When these little red lights come on, you know when they come on, don't you? We could share 1,000 words here this morning, couldn't we? 1,000 words. We know when they come on. And when they come on, we pray to God. We have the courage to back up and say, "Oh Lord, oh Holy Spirit, come and look at that little child within me. Katageo, help me to put off, help me to defeat that childish way. Help me to understand it. And I ask for your healing so I can forgive some folks I need to forgive. So I can forgive myself. So maybe I can forgive God." A residue of bitterness even against the Almighty. I can see that fellow who went through the healing of the memories and had the Holy Spirit touch some very sensitive things, but he had such great courage. And I saw the grace of God touch him, and he just literally belched out all of these things as to why he was, and the Spirit came and just flowed through his life, through tears and through prayer. He was a whole man, and he said, "You know how I feel, Pastor?" I said, "No." He said, "I feel like I've been reborn." He'd already been born again in Jesus Christ, but he said, "Now I feel reborn." He said, "For the first time, I can go out in life with a sense of freedom." And folks, that's the problem with this little child that's within us. We'll never be free. We'll never really be loose and alive to all the gifts and all the challenges and all the responsibilities of this world as long as that little child allows us to continue to lash or to pout, to charge or to retreat, to inappropriately respond in times of tension and pressure that comes along with the givenness of living and of breathing. Very quietly, let's bow our heads. O Holy Spirit, would you ask right now in your individual, in your personal life, that the Spirit of God might come and touch whatever it is, that attitude, that emotion, that response, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit would touch. Oh, it would be different for all of us. However hard, however cruel, however brutal, however, let the Holy Spirit come and just heal and cleanse and forgive and restore. And whatever he says right now in your life or in my life, whatever he touches, may we not turn away from his light, but instead, as he looks at that little child within us that is so many times so selfish, so narrow, so tough, so cold, so brutal, so vicious, whatever he touches, may we say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord."